I want to start off saying thanks on behalf of my wife and myself, and on behalf of her entire family for your prayers, cards, a lot of nice things said. Still, there's some sensitivity there, so if tears come, please understand. And the service yesterday was absolutely, was it emotional? Yes. Was it a blessing? Absolutely. Dr. Dave Doran, we gave him a challenge to share the word. We pointed out some unsaved family that was going to be there and said, please do not hold back on the gospel. And he gave both barrels. And we're very, very grateful for that. We had a surprise visit. Somebody drove, well, some people from Ohio, namely the Smiths, drove up to be there. But somebody drove two and a half hours from Michigan to that we knew. And it was Jim and Jenna Wright. And they said, well, you came out to Africa to visit us, so we wanted to come. But they presented something to Suzanne that made her cry. And I'm not intending to make her cry again. But they gave her this. A Bible in Sango. Hot off the press. They've been working on this. It was still in shrink wrap, and that was given. That was very meaningful. So continue to pray for the rights. All right. Well, let's open with a word of prayer before we look at this short but important section of Scripture, okay? Gracious Lord, we marvel at the darkness that we lived in, and that the light of God's word shone in. We now know that we were born in dark depravity of sin, and that only Jesus can penetrate that and dispel that with the light of his glory. We thank you for the truth. God, who made the light bearers at creation, and the same God has, as the scripture says, has shone in our hearts. And so we pray this morning that you would shine brightly in and through us, we pray. Make your word be our counselor on which we may meditate and be corrected and be instructed by, in which we may also proclaim. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So, Lord, make us wise and discerning in a culture that is marked by and follows carnal pursuits and talks about shifting truth. Help us shine for you. We pray for Cindy Saul, who is scheduled for a very delicate and needed eye surgery tomorrow, so that these nerves are not as sensitive and she's able to see and move about and travel again and hopefully drive. We pray for the Thompson family attending the funeral in Washington of his sister that passed. We thank you that she was a believer and is with her Lord. And Lord, we pray for the testimony of this assembly, not this place, but this assembly called Westerville Bible Church. We thank you that we meet in this ministry center, but we are the people of God who are to shine with the light of God's word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the nightly news gives us the who that's doing the what and where they're doing it, and rarely is it encouraging. When is the last time you watched the news and you said, what a blessing? You may have said, boy, God is at work. But here's some news that you can use. Ready? Christ is building his church today around the world. And in this place, he is Lord of all. He's Lord of creation. He's Lord and sovereign of salvation. He is Lord over his church. He is Lord over his enemies. He is Lord of the future, as well as the Lord of what's going on right now. And I have to say that because sometimes we say, well, I know he's going to come and return and establish his kingdom and he's going to do wonderful things. But listen, I can tell you some things going on in my life right now that are disturbing. He's Lord of that as well. He's in control. We are in Mark chapter 4. I was thinking we're in the parable zone, not the terrible zone, but parable zone, where he gives us several beautiful pictures. We've looked at the parable of the soil. Now we come to what is considered a lesser parable. It's smaller, but it's still significant. And we're dedicating a whole Sunday to, Lord, what does this mean? And how do we live this? Why should this impact our lives? Remember that parables did not mean that automatically the light would come on. In fact, it could mean the opposite. It wasn't something. Dan Corey and I were in the car together coming back from a funeral on Friday, and a couple of my granddaughters rode in the car, and they enlightened us with jokes and riddles. I guess that's what I needed at the time. But when they say, Poppy, that's me. That's my other name, okay. Poppy, why is a this like a this? I don't know. Why is a this like a that? And they love to be able to tell you. Is that what Jesus is doing? Although I've read many sources that say parables are just like riddles. Is that what Jesus was doing? Just laying out a story and saying, now see if you can figure it out. Did you get it? Oh, you didn't get it. Then you don't have ears to hear. Jesus is enlightening those who are responding to the truth and those who said, you know what? Not interested. There's kind of a judging darkness that goes on there. We read of people who came, crowds. Jesus has to get in a bush and push out from the shore. They come to the water of life. And I was thinking this week, thanks to my wife for letting me borrow. You want to see me juggle? Beautiful teacup. That there were some who were like that teacup that came to Jesus. Oh, they were quite impressive to look at. And they were all about show and color and pomp and circumstances. But they didn't really come to hold much. There were others. This is not as impressive. But there were others who came a bigger vessel. Think, oh. But they came with their hand over it. Really? Teach me something. Yeah, tell me something about myself. They didn't receive too much because there were Pharisees and people that they were not coming to receive. They were coming to snare him, catch him in something. Well, and hopefully you and I would be, this is how I come. Not too impressive, not real shiny, not something that people are going to collect. But I'm a bucket. I'm here to receive all that God has for me. And Lord, fill me and overflow me today. I'm not interested in being, almost broke another illustration. I'm not interested in being fancy and people thinking, oh, how impressive. They got it all together. No, I don't care if they see me as a plastic or a rusty old bucket. I just want you to fill me with truth overflowing today. Well, the people that came to Jesus were all different kinds. And Jesus isn't giving riddles and saying, see if you can figure this out. He's feeding those who are responding to truth and those who had come along and said, he does this by the power of Beelzebul. He's saying, that's enough. And what you had is going to be given to someone else. We learned in verses 1 through 20 that effective ministry depends on, well, the broadcasting of the seed and the receptivity of the soil. Our focus here at Westerville Bible Church is not to be on programs or on solving world problems or societal programs. No, ministry goes out and goes on when seed is being sown. We're not here to entertain. We're not here to fix all the world's problems. We are here to say, let me introduce you to Jesus. Let me share the light upon you. And every inch, every ounce of what we do as a church should point to our Lord Jesus Christ. There should be nothing about Westerville Bible Church that is just entertainment-based. It all ought to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact is that just because God is sovereign does not mean that we can be passive or inactive. The church should be very active. And the more that you are studying, in fact, I can make a connection, a link, a correlation between your receiving the truth, bucketfuls, and your shining brightly as a witness. With each additional instruction, it seems, in this chapter, as in verse 24, he says, pay attention to what you hear. These parables assure us that this spiritual activity goes on even when we don't see it. We say, you know what? I've been throwing seed not just for months or weeks or years, decades, Pastor. I've been throwing seed, and I don't always see results. And we need to be brought to passages like this that remind us God is sovereign and God is at work. But I'm not seeing, but God is. And you don't always see as God sees. God is changing some soils right now. Even as we speak, some of those people that you would have said a few years ago, they were like that hard path, trampled down dirt. But God is working. Boy, in recent conversations that I've had with them, there seems to be a softening process. Praise God. And one of these days you'll come to me and say, guess what? There was a harvest. That person has put their faith in Christ. We don't always see the whole thing. The process may live longer than you do. Is that a reference to you dying? Maybe. It may last longer than we do. But God is in control. Notice, first of all, the responsibility that all believers have. Jesus has already talked about kinds of unbelief, kinds of soil, false belief, shallow belief, and then there was very few who were the true faith in God. It was a small part of that land that was good soil. And now this master teacher expands on not only what we are to be, receptive soil, but what we are to do with the seed that falls on us. First of all, to hear and be saved. You're not here today to just hear, H-E-A-R, and go away and say, you know, I didn't know that about lamps. I didn't know that about this. We're not here to just give trivia so that if you're ever on Jeopardy, you can nail that question. Okay? No, we're saying, I am here to be confronted face to face with truth. I'm to be turned. I'm to be saved. And then as the saved, I am to live a radically different life. Those who were enabled to hear, verse 23, must hear the word and receive it, and then it must be heard and believed. Verses 14 and 16 and 17 and 18 and 20. We're to do something with it. Remember that John the Baptist, he wasn't that light, but he was a witness. John the Baptist came and preached and was martyred. And then Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And then what did he say? Repent and believe in the gospel. Jesus didn't say, I'm here to tweak your religious system. I'm here to make you feel better about yourself. Not at all. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Satan is not going to give up. You cast out seed, he waits for an opportunity, and if he can snatch up some of that seed, he will. But he's not Lord. And he has a certain future. And as we learned, to have merely a shallow acquaintance with the Word of God is not enough. For you to be able to say, hey, Pastor, I can recite the books of the Bible, that's a good thing. I can do it backwards. That's an interesting thing. But you know what? What do you do with that? Do you know the Lord of the Scriptures? Do you submit? Pastor, I read 38 chapters yesterday. Okay. I'm not going to discourage that. But can you tell me how it impacts your life? Well, who was this challenge for? Verse 21 says, for them. The them. We can look at verses 13 and 10. The explanation was not for that massive crowd that had gathered. It was for genuine believer. Listen, this instruction, this explanation was for the saved only. Jesus could throw out a parable and some people going, soils, mustard seed, lamp. I get it. Yeah, these are common day things that are all around me, but where are you going with this? Jesus would gather those who were responding to him, who were disciples. And Jesus would say, let me tell you what this means. Let me tell you what this requires of you. Let me tell you what I am doing through all of this. Chapter 3, verses 22 and following, was kind of a continental divide. Okay? It was a watershed point. And those who said, this is by the power of Satan. It's interesting that from this point on, a good bit of the instruction of Jesus has to do with the cross and not so much about the straightforward teaching about the kingdom. Well, they were to hear, and we are all to hear, and be saved. And I hope you will be saved and put your faith in Christ and continue to follow and persevere in the faith. Secondly, to shine as designed. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In our text, is a lamp to be brought in and put on a basket, a lamp? You've got central lighting, you've got lights in your closet, maybe. You've got little, what do they call them, puck lights that you just push them and some of them turn on. You have some that are wired. You have some little lights that, isn't that impressive? But you need these. You may have something like this by the side of your bed. This is not meant to light up my whole house. I recently, when the storm was coming, I bought a light that I can put a battery on it, and I'll tell you, it lights up the block, okay? But this ain't it. This is not that one. But this is more like what you are to be understanding. This is a lamp. Here's the handle. Here's the wick. Here's where you'd pour the oil. What you are not meant to do is put this under your bed for many reasons. But you were to put it on a pole. Actually, one this size was the flashlight of the day. This would not hold enough oil to possibly go all night. But if you needed to find your way to the restroom or find out who was at the door, you could light this one by the other lamp and go. Let your light so shine before men. Well, you know what? I'm a Christian, but let's just keep that between you and me. Absolutely not. That it may give light to all that are in the house. You ever feel like your head is going to explode when somebody talks about, and please don't pull this on me, because I don't know what I'll pull on you. But when somebody says, my truth. Now, our society is all about my truth, as if it's some type of subjective thing. Listen, this truth is based on the very essence of God. God, let God be true, and every man a... God's word is a revelation of the very nature of God. God is perfect in all his being, and his word is flawless. The Bible is not a mixture of truth and error, and then we're given a little kit called the human mind that we're to go through and figure the riddle out and separate the truth from the error. And there are those liberals who say, well, that's exactly what we're to do with this part is true, this part is not. Or maybe the pastor doesn't say that, but he says, you decide what's true to you. Listen, let God be true. It's all true. You may have passages that you say, I really like this chapter. Oh, I love this book. But it's all the truth of God. And true disciples, listen to me, I'm not trying to offend, but true disciples can never get enough. A growing disciple, a true disciple, doesn't say, you know what? I went to church last year. I've been this month. I went once last Sunday. You know, the desire should be, when are the doors open? When can I get fed? When can I pray with others? It's absurd to light a torch and put it under the bed. And it is wrong to keep a gospel witness to yourself. That's his point here. Why did they put it on a pole or hang it from a little basket? That it may give light to all the house for the maximum effect. Light is to go everywhere. We are to be light bearers. Most of the lights that we see in the sky are just light reflectors. Sometimes you see a reflection, something bright, and you think, oh, it's a piece of tape that has a reflective quality. It's reflecting light from somewhere else. What God had revealed to these that he gathered, he said, let me explain something to you. You have ears to hear, let you hear. Let me teach you what this means. They were not only to receive the truth, they were to share the truth, impart that, broadcast that to all different kinds of soil. You say, well, witness, isn't that a kind of like a special class of Christians? Are elders and deacons to be witnesses? And what's the answer? Yes. Are they the designated ones in the church to be witnesses? And the answer is no. All of us. That's why I say it is the responsibility that all believers have. All Christians are to shine for Christ. All are to receive the word deeply. All are to proclaim Christ. Some of you like lighthouses. You've been to Cape Hatteras and you climbed up those steps. More power to you. I watched it, but I didn't run up the steps. Okay. Some of you have been to Ashtabula Harbor Lighthouse. Some of you have taken pictures. Some of you have little lighthouses in your house. That's great. A lighthouse without a light is a liability. If people put a lighthouse because there's some dangerous rocks or a sandbar or some type of threat there, and that light is not shining to warn, it's a liability. A Christian without a light is a liability. I'm not speaking of what just our missionaries or what pastors are to do, but all of us are to put our light. Jesus Christ, John chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus Christ, John chapter 8 and verse 12. He was that light. With a definite article, he's speaking about himself. Jesus came not for them to conceal him in a box or for him to keep it to himself, but he was here to give light. And that's what the Christian is to do, to share Jesus Christ. It's not the responsibility of just the missionary. Young people, shine where you are. Employees, shine where you are. We're to pay attention to the word. I would encourage you, don't read sloppy theology. Don't be impressed by compromising pastors. Don't choose a church mainly on the friendliness of the people. That's a bad sign. No, it's a good sign that a church is friendly. But the size of the choir, you say, well, the people were friendly. That's a good thing. That's the reason you chose the church, though? That's a bad thing. Put yourself under the teaching of teachers who impart the word of God. Serve it straight and tell it long. Well, not a long sermon. You know what I mean. Only God's truth has the power to convict. It cuts deep. Only grace can radically change, can separate a person to God. Lamps that, this one has never been lit. Oh, well then, Pastor, you plan on putting oil and light in it. No, I really don't. This is a decoration. And today it's an illustration. And Christians are not to be decorations. We're not here to look good but not shine. Your word, Psalm 119, 105, is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Truth exposes darkness. It invades darkness. I've shared this before, but several years ago, when I worked at a Christian college and in the bookstore, and it was an old part of an old building, and we wondered what was eating the spines of some of the books. And one night, as we had cleaned everything out of there, and my fellow manager and I say, let's go back one more time. We walked in there and crunch, 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 and turned the light on, and it was wall-to-wall roaches. Now do I have your attention? Light exposes. When those roaches, when that light came on, the roaches didn't say, hey, how you doing? And they said, and then they didn't, some of them were so big, they said, hey, shut the light off when you're done. But they scattered. We are here to turn light on. But some people don't like it when I shine. It's not your business. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good work. I'm not saying be offensive, be an irritation, but shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that we have appreciated about my father-in-law is that he told of Christ. If he went to a doctor appointment, he might start at Africa, but it always ended up at Christ. But at one point, I was sharing with somebody that when he moved into where he was kind of eating in his room a lot and kind of keeping things to himself. He'd been shining. He'd been telling people about Christ. When you're right on the back of the largest Catholic parish in the county, you know, there's a lot of Catholics there, and there were a lot of people that really didn't want to hear. And I had to tell my own father-in-law, who I respect like you can't imagine, I had to say, but you have to shine. You can't shut that off. And right up to the end, there was a bright testimony for Christ. Pass it on. Don't let the good news stop with you. Pass it on. Paul asked the church to pray. Pray for me that I may open my mouth, that I may have boldness, Ephesians 6:19. Pray also for me that the message given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Charles Spurgeon said, "If sinners be damned, let them leap to hell over our bodies." You ever had that expression, "over my dead body"? Spurgeon is saying, get in the way. May your testimony be an impediment to their progress to damnation. Roman numeral 2, the certainty of the obedient possess. What is the certainty? What are you sure of? What does this passage tell us? I talked for weeks about seed and farming, and I'm not a farmer. I've had a garden. Most of the time I buy plants that are already on their way, and I just stick them in the ground. You want to hear about germination? Not from me. You want to hear about light? I don't know. I wouldn't know how to turn a lighthouse on. But I can tell you what it means to shine for Christ from God's word. Point A, here's the certainty. The gospel will be successful. You mean everybody I talk to will be saved? Didn't say that. There's a broad way. There's a narrow way. There are all kinds of soils. But I'm saying the gospel will be successful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul talks about that he sowed and Apollos watered. And you know who brought the increase or the made it successful, brought the growth? He says God did. It remains mysterious to us and sometimes heartbreaking to us how that people can hear the same sermon, read the same gospel tract, receive the same witness, and some people will be saved and others go, not today. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. But the power, my friends, here's the certainty. The power is that it's not in your presentation. It's not in your personality. The power is in the Word. And it is a powerful Word, isn't it? The Word of God. Jesus guaranteed the power of the light. Jesus promised to build His church in dark times. It means we're to win souls. You are to be a witness. When we speak, Christ is going to use this word through you. Sometimes to sow. Sometimes to water. Sometimes to bring a harvest. Secondly, the supply is sufficient. A very simple country preacher years ago used to say, get all the getting you can get, so when it comes time to give, you can give all you got. And I say, you know what? Stay in God's Word. Saturate yourself with the truth of God's Word. Be in every service you can possibly be. Learn all that you can learn so when it comes time to give, you can give all you got. Respond to God's Word. Do you stay for the afternoon service? Oh, now he's meddling. Be that thirsty Christian who says, you know what? I'm a bucket. I just can't get enough of God's Word. I just can't wait to share the good news. You can have a library full of Bibles. I don't know how many Bibles I have. Some of them are electronic. Some of them are in different languages. Some of them are study Bibles. I have a lot of Bibles, but that doesn't mean that I'm proclaiming the Word of God. I have your computer may be full of study tools. We're to not only study and read and meditate and learn and grow, but we are to shine. Beacons. Beacons. What about these in verse 25 that we read? For to the one, you know, the verse 24, what measure you use, it will be measured to you. Use it or lose it. We've heard that expression, haven't we? And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Reprobate people. The past over. Those who are hearing the word of God and are being drawn, and the elect, and they're being saved, and they can't get enough. And there are others who say, you know what? Enough. I don't want to hear it. Which are you? We can think about people that we know. Which are you? The self-righteous leaders were not receiving, and the Lord says, the light that you have is going to be taken away. I enjoyed a few years ago, my wife and I went with some family members. We went to Scotland. And I don't know, you take pictures of grandkids, do you? I take pictures of old buildings. I enjoy old doors. In fact, got up early one morning to go find a door and got lost, and almost I never got back. I never made it back. But I like old doors. But I got to tell you, some of these old churches in Scotland are not churches anymore. In fact, very few of them are. And even the ones that are churches are probably not evangelical or fundamental or Bible-teaching churches. Some of them are community centers. Some of them are mosques. Some of them are just boarded up. Some of them are museums. The Lord tells His people, receive the Word of God. How many Bibles do you own? How many sermons have you heard? Stop doing the math. I didn't mean to do that. But I will say this, though, that with great grace comes great responsibility. You ever heard the saying, you only truly possess what you truly practice? Let that sink in. You only truly possess what you truly practice. So you read and you say, well, I checked this off, I read it, and you don't really live it out or live it. Did you really read it? Did you really hear it? He who has ears, we all, I'm pretty sure, have, but ears to hear, let him hear. Well, may there be a link between what we are hearing, what we are reading, what we are studying, and how we are living and what we are doing with it. Jesus said, here's different kinds of soils, and now he says, here's what you're to do with it. Receive it deeply and be a beacon. Let your light shine. Each of us should give a clear and effective witness to what Christ has done in us. And we have to be patient with the harvest. We're not here to regret. We're not here to fret. Well, what if I witness and somebody laughs? I wish I had given witness. No, we are to shine and leave the rest up to the Lord. We are to cast the seed. I would ask you, what obstructs our witness? Put it under a bed. Put it under a bushel. No. Let's put it on a pole that it gives light to all that are in the house. There's a connection between the way we receive the seed and the way that we shine for Christ. Gracious Heavenly Father, rebuke us and forgive us. Convict us and use us. May your word not just stop with us. May we not be the one who gobbles up the gospel and then keeps it to ourselves. But Lord, that we broadcast it. We can't hide behind excuses like, I don't have the right personality type. I'm not bold enough. I don't know enough. I haven't been saved long enough. None of these work. Help us to shine where you have planted us with the word that you have given us and the Spirit who lives in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.